Thank you, Blessing Zulu and Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
ZANU-PF organs fall over each other as they rush to endorse First Lady Grace Mugabe's bid to take over the Women's League headship ahead of the party's crucial elective congress in December.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa reveals all may not be well after all in the Sino-Zimbabwe relations as China exerts pressure on cash-strapped Harare to pay up on loans to avoid being cut off.
China is not doling out free lunch. China is looking for business, commercial relationships. And hence, if you haven't paid up the loans, if they are not up to date, they won't actually give you more money.
And MDC renewal team leader Tendai Biti warns that the country may descend into chaos as ZANU-PF grapples with internal factional fights and an imploding economy.
ZANU-PF is the party that is controlling government. So the sad situation that Zimbabwe finds itself is that we have got a horribly weak government. This government is the poorest government since 1980.
The campaign to endorse First Lady Grace Mugabe to take over the ZANU-PF Women's League headship has reached amusing levels, with the party's organs stampeding to ratify her candidacy. The ZANU-PF leaning traditional chiefs yesterday became the latest to lend their support for Amai Mugabe, a political novice considered divisive by some. And today, the Newsday is reporting that spirit mediums will follow suit on Saturday. Although her candidacy is not threatened, Grace Mugabe's handlers are not taking any chances. They have even quoted Zupco buses with adverts canvassing for her, drawing fire from opposition parties and members of the public. Reporter Ntunga Milinkomo turned to political commentator Pedzisai Ruhanya for perspective on this matter and the raging ZANU-PF factional fights.
I think it is a realization of the different factions in ZANU to understand, to appreciate, and to locate where state power is. State power and the power in ZANU still resides in President Robert Mugabe. So he who wants to remain politically relevant under the leadership and control of the party and the country under President Robert Mugabe must play the tune. They must play the song, and the song in town is to elevate the First Lady to the position of Secretary for the Women's League of ZANU. And anyone who does not show that, anyone who does not respect that, who does not endorse that, who does not bootleg the First Lady, as long as President Robert Mugabe is in charge, they may lose their political position as the party head for Congress. So it's a realization that the old man is in charge of both the party and the country. And those who will not sing the song will be forced to leave the church called ZANU to some other political home outside of ZANU and the state.
There is speculation that a faction in ZANU-PF might actually be planning to install Grace Mugabe as leader of ZANU-PF when Mr. Mugabe is gone. How feasible is that?
That is a very misleading proposition. That is a very uninformed position, because Mugabe is in charge not only of the party, but also of the government. And it's repressive state apparatuses, which includes the central intelligence, the army, the police, and all those sections that the coercive elements of the state. So to suggest that Mugabe does not have teeth is misleading, and those who believe that will surely be looking for a political home outside of them.
That was political commentator Pedzisai Ruhanya on the line from Harare with reporter Ntunga Milinkomo.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says China is exerting pressure on Harare to pay up its loans or risk being cut out. Chinamasa told business leaders in Harare today that Zimbabwe has had to pay millions of dollars to keep Chinese creditors at bay. The finance minister said, quote, In the first 6 months of this year, we have had to cough up $180 million, which was not on the budget, just to make ourselves look good. Zimbabwe's external debt stands at about $9 billion. China alone is believed to have loaned Zimbabwe $1 billion. Last month, President Robert Mugabe made his 13th trip to China since independence and claimed that Beijing and Harare had signed more than 12 mega deals with the Asian nation. China is expected to bankroll infrastructure development in the country.
A businessman and MDCT Bulawayo South MP Eddie Cross says China is reluctant to deal with Zimbabwe because it is a political liability. He says China is asking, and I quote, "Why spend money on a failed state who can never pay back?" Opposition leaders MDCT Morgan Tsvangirai, MDC Renewal leader Tendai Biti, MKD leader Simba Makoni, and NCA's Love Momaduku are united in dismissing ZANU-PF's claims that China will bail out Harare economically. Economist Godfrey Kanyenze, director of the Labor and Economic Development Research Institute, tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the Chinese move is not surprising.
Well, it's not surprising at all, because we've already stated before that China is not doling out free lunch. China is looking for business, commercial relationships. And hence, if you haven't paid up the loans, if they are not up to date, they won't actually give you more money, which is tantamount to putting good money after debt. So in essence, you make good, first of all, what is already there before you commit new resources. So it's just prudent business practice. There's nothing surprising about it. It's only surprising that government expected the free lunch.
Where then does this leave the Zimbabwe government, which has been debt-ridden for decades now?
Well, it throws them backwards, in the sense that they've always been arguing that China is their all-weather friend. And even the president, when he was in Beijing, he indicated that, well, they would prefer China to the West. But as things stand, China is basically behaving like even the West itself, because it's the universal principle of prudence. It has nothing to do with your geographical location.
That was economist Godfrey Kanyenze of the Labor and Economic Development Research Institute, speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Factionalism that has gripped President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party has become so entrenched that some members are now calling for the suspension of the government's five-year economic blueprint, the Zimbabwe Agenda for Social and Economic Transformation, or ZIMASET. Some party supporters told Studio 7 that a faction allegedly led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru is demanding the scrapping of the $27 billion ZIMASET, which has failed to attract international funding, claiming that it is unworkable. They claim that the program crafted by some ZANU-PF members allegedly linked to Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa's faction is also too complex to be understood by most party members. They believe that ZANU-PF needs to completely change its political and economic policies in order to attract foreign direct investment as the economy stutters. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo was not reachable for comment. We reached Herald editor Cesar Zwai, who tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube the fight over ZIMASET is now visible in the party as factions wrestle for posts ahead of the December elective Congress.
ZANU-PF right now is counting down towards this elective Congress, and the issue of succession is topping the agenda. There are some internal fights as contending factions try to battle for supremacy. Yes, as with any economic blueprint, you know, in any political party, you find the technocrats there, the people who came up with that blueprint, those are people they know it through and through. And then, of course, there are the people from villages and so on who may not know what this is all about, but they just talk about the market as a slogan. One of the criticisms that has been laid against ZANU-PF is that it rolls out the majority of its support from the rural areas, but up to now, ZIMASET is available only in English.
which means that to the common man, the generality of ZANU-PF membership, it may not be accessible. But as far as, I think that is what the major uniting factor in the party right now. They are all agreed, they are all throwing their shoulders behind the market. But as you know, the struggle for power, there are contending factions there, aiming to succeed President Mugabe. All sorts of reports emanate, come out when people are wrestling for power. Yeah, one of the major criticisms that has been laid out against the market is that it does not have a funding strategy.
That was Herald editor Caesar Zwai speaking in his personal capacity with Studio 7 from Harare. ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya says internal ZANU-PF conflicts over Zimma Set and other issues are part of the democratic process in the party.
It is very normal that you would expect everyone in ZANU-PF to understand what Zimma Set is all about, because this is a policy, an economic policy that is supposed to, that is expected really to be driven by economists and by the government. If there are some people who do not understand it, yes, indeed, it is expected, because ZANU-PF is a very big party that includes both literate and illiterate people. But I think really it's up to the leaders, if resources permit, that they should go down to the grassroots and explain to almost everyone. But there is a lot of things that really do not need money in terms of implementation. Of course, some of the things might need funding, but there are simple things like, for instance, beneficiation, whereby we're talking about adding value to the products, especially agricultural products.
It appears as if this has become another turf for a fight, you know, for the control of ZANU-PF. What is your take on that?
Well, I have heard so much about camps and factionalism, but from my understanding, from a sociology point of view, indeed, factions are found everywhere, including the family. Some children may be more aligned to the father than the mother.
And that was ZANU-PF activist and political commentator Morris Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Both Mujuru and Mnangagwa were also not available for comment. They have dismissed reports that they lead ZANU-PF factions.
The Southern African Development Community Health Forum is tightening efforts to ensure the region remains free from the deadly Ebola virus that is ravaging some parts of some countries in West Africa. In a communique released yesterday after a SADC Health Forum extraordinary summit in Victoria Falls last Friday, the region's health ministers agreed to adopt a common position targeting individuals traveling from the affected countries. Some people who would in their day-to-day lives come into contact with animals or dead bodies will be quarantined upon arrival from the affected countries for up to 21 days. Generally, people coming from the affected countries will be screened and allowed to go, but with a 21-day follow-up program. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Dr. Davidson Sangweme, a public health lecturer at the University of Northern Georgia in the United States. Sangweme says it is important for regions that are Ebola-free to take measures to curb the spread of the virus.
It is absolutely important that we protect ourselves, because it can be a really huge economic impact and health impact as well. And the panic that it can cause can actually destabilize everything, all the ways of life people are used to. So I believe it is very inconvenient to those affected by that kind of those restrictions, but I believe they are all done in the right spirit, and it is very critical to ensure that people really don't necessarily stigmatize each other. Because given the fact that we have an incubation period which is that long, it's going to be almost impractical for people to be able to transit through the region if they are coming from those areas.
There's also a question of capability, not only looking at Zimbabwe itself, but the SADC region as a whole. What is your view? Can SADC facilitate this type of move?
For us as developing nations, our best protection would be prevention. Because I don't think we have any, probably maybe in South Africa, we might have level 4 containment facilities for labs, which can kind of deal with pathogens such as the Ebola virus. So if we can't keep it out, we are really in trouble.
That was Dr. Davidson Saungweme, a public health lecturer at the University of Northern Georgia in the United States. He spoke with Tatenda Gumbo.
Meanwhile, the United States announced that it will support the African Union's urgent deployment of trained and equipped medical workers to West Africa, which is struggling with the Ebola virus. This is the single largest injection of critical personnel to the region meant to help combat the Ebola outbreak. With this contribution of $10 million, the United States has spent more than $100 million responding to the Ebola outbreak.
The MDCT says its ongoing nomination process for candidates who will contest for various posts in its National Congress in late November is proceeding well, although some party members are alleging that factionalism is marring the process in the party's Bulawayo province, where the exercise started last week. The hotly contested seat in the party's Bulawayo province is that of the chairperson, which was left vacant by Makokoba legislator Gordon Moyo, who recently resigned from the post, citing lawlessness and violence within his party. MDCT Organizing Secretary Abednego Bebe, who is supervising the nomination process, tells reporter Sitandekile Mhlanga it would be premature to finger irregularities, if any, as some districts in the city have not yet nominated candidates of their choice.
Started with the branches and it went on to the wards, and now we were doing the districts. This program is taking phases. We are going province by province, making sure and conducting proper, legible, and democratic district elections. And the Bulawayo is one of those provinces that were the first to be done as per our program.
So far, what has happened in Bulawayo?
Well, so far, so good. Everything is progressing well. We have done eight districts out of 12, and those four are going to be finished by Sunday this week. As for now, before I get all the districts nominating their candidates, I will not then announce which districts nominated who.
Please explain the inclusion of Mr. Gift Banda in the race. Some of your members are saying he does not qualify to be included among the others.
We've got a template that qualifies people. We've got a constitution over and above, which is an overall qualification document of any member who wants to contest or is nominated to contest.
In other words, you are saying his inclusion is appropriate.
I am saying a process is a process, and that process gives every legitimate person to contest an election. They're going into one candidate as if I'm decamping one candidate. I am not going to do, because I am a leader who is supposed to be leading a whole group or a whole crew of people that are under my protocol.
That was MDCT Deputy Organizing Secretary Abednego Bebe on the line from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
MDC renewal leader Tendai Biti says ZANU-PF is clueless on how to deal with factions in its party and the country's economic crisis.
We start off with regional and international news.
U.S. President Barack Obama is set to unveil his plan for an expanded American military effort against Islamic State militants in the Mideast. Mr. Obama is giving a primetime television address tonight to describe the threat of the insurgents to U.S. national security and how he plans to combat it.
China is sending hundreds of troops to join the UN peacekeeping force in war-torn South Sudan, where Chinese companies have major oil interests. Comments from China's foreign ministry yesterday followed a report in the Wall Street Journal that said China was deploying troops to protect South Sudanese oil fields and the Chinese workers and installations around them.
And Russia's defense minister says Ukraine bears full responsibility for the deadly crash of Malaysia Airlines flight MH17 because the incident occurred in Ukrainian airspace. Sergei Shoigu made his remarks during a meeting today in Moscow with Malaysian defense minister Hishamuddin Hussein.
The de facto leader of the MDC renewal team, Tendai Biti, is warning that the country might descend into chaos as the ZANU-PF-led government grapples with international factional fights and an imploding economy. He says President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party has no clue as to how it can deal with these two issues. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu speaks exclusively to Biti and first asks him about his own formation's restructuring plans.
We are busy establishing structures across the whole of Zimbabwe.
Do you now have dates for your Congress?
It will definitely be next year, but I can't disclose the months, and there are lots of things that are happening.
After this Congress has been held, are there plans to have a new name? We have seen that you have changed the colors to orange, for example.
Renewal certainly stands for the rehabilitation of the democratic movement in this country. So I guess that also requires a rebranding. Whether the members will actually change the name, I can't tell you, but certainly colors have been changed. And certainly there are lots of things that have been emphasized on values and so forth.
That sounds refreshing, but your critics are saying it appears you are spending more time assassinating the character of Tsvangirai and not expounding those views.
Actually, I don't like to blame the media, but the media likes saucy things. So if you take, for instance, the last meeting that we had in Mashingo, the message we sent there is that it is possible to rehabilitate what we called the Zimbabwean dream. And the Zimbabwean dream is a just, democratic, free society where everyone is free to live happy, fulfilling lives as articulated by Section 8 of our Constitution. That was the essence of our message. But of course, the media have got a democratic right of reporting on things that I can call for lack of data with sound bites.
Talking about ZANU-PF, there are these factional fights that are going on. Should Zimbabweans be concerned?
They should be concerned. They should be concerned because the ZANU-PF is the party that is controlling government. So the sad situation that Zimbabwe finds itself is that we have got a horribly weak government. This government is the poorest government since 1980. You have got people that are tired, that are old, that are clueless. Then you've got the second crisis of a weak political party that is in government. ZANU is at war. In fact, to say it's a civil war is an understatement. They are itching to beat each other up. All kinds of vices. Then you've got the third dimension, the dynastic dimension ushered in by the rise of Grace Mugabe as a politician in Zimbabwe. So you've got the danger of dynastic politics in Zimbabwe. Then you've got a weak economy. This country is in a recession. The technical definition of a recession is when a country has two quarters negative growth rates. Now, you and I know that since 2012, this economy has not grown. So we are actually in the middle of a recession. And Zimbabwe's recessions tend to last between 10 years and 15 years. You remember the last recession. It lasted from 1997 to 2008, a period of 11 years, during which period the economy lost 60% of its value. Then we've got a moral crisis. Look at our newspapers. They talk of rapes, domestic violence, and so forth. So Zimbabwe is in a very fragile state in that you've got this serious sclerotic crisis that are all merging at one fork. Normally, you would have one crisis, the economic crisis. But we have never had this multifaceted crisis coinciding at one point. So the Zimbabwean state is very weak. The Zimbabwean government is very weak. So Zimbabweans need to be concerned by what is happening in ZANU-PF. Because when you have the combination of a weak government, when you have the combination of a weak ruling party, when you have the combination of a weak economy, that is invitation for political instability, including unlawful and unconstitutional things such as the military coup, which is why it is so important for the opposition to up its game. And that's the crisis that Zimbabwe faces.
That was de facto MDC renewal team leader Tendai Biti speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Tomorrow, Studio 7 speaks with Mabambo Kusile Don President Simba Makoni.
Well, I think you need to understand that my call for cooperation, I haven't used the word national dialogue, and I haven't appealed for dialogue with ZANU-PF. I have appealed for cooperation among all leaders who are committed to working for the people of Zimbabwe. And I know that the leaders of ZANU-PF are not committed, but there are members of ZANU-PF who would like to see change, who would be willing to work for change. Those we can work with.
So remember to tune in for Blessing Zulu's exclusive interview with the former finance minister in Mabambo Kusile leader.
Milling industry workers have shelved their plans to down tools after threats from their employers that they would be expelled if they took part in any strike action. United Food and Allied Workers Union of Zimbabwe General Secretary Adonaya Mutero says the unions failed with no, they were left with no option but to abandon the planned strike action as most members received threats from their employers. The industry has more than 10,000 workers who are demanding poverty datum line pegged salaries, which the employers are not willing to entertain. Mutero speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
What we did up today is to conclude balloting. We are now in the middle of counting those ballots to ascertain now whether or not the membership is in favor or not in favor of industrial action. Therefore, as soon as they are done with that process, we will now pronounce the details of the strike to the constituents. So basically, the issue of striking as of now is still there, but pending finalization of those procedures.
There are reports that some employers were threatening workers with expulsion if they joined the strike. Is this true?
It's true. It's true, comrade. They are now resorting to those death tactics to silence the voice of the workers. But we are quite very aware that the minister or the government is not in our hands of these employers. It's the government of the people, for the employers and for the employees. Therefore, we expect nothing short of a fair wrestling of this fight. The moment he signed with the employers, we will have no excuse to call him an agent of the employers.
So what's the way forward here?
The way forward is very clear, comrade. We are indeed in the process.
A Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe chairman Tafazwa Msarara says employers were ready to fire any workers who heeded union calls to strike.
This has flopped very dismally. Our workers have completely snubbed the call made by Adonia Mchero. We have made it very clear to our employees since last week that whoever will partake in this strike will be fired and fired immediately. And on three grounds. First, this strike is illegal because there was no certificate of settlement obtained by the trade union as required by the law. Secondly, the ground rules that were agreed by both parties during the wage negotiating provide that no party shall go on strike or go on any job collective action until the full finalization of the negotiation, whether with an agreement or with a deadlock. And that has not happened. The negotiations were still underway, despite that we had not yet reached a deadlock. And of course, thirdly, the workers had not been fully franchised to exercise the ballot. The workers, the law is very clear, must be provided with an opportunity to elect to go on strike or not. The notice of intention to conduct a job action was an idea of the trade union, not of the workers. So that exercise had not been fully executed.
That was Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe Chairman Tafazwa Msarara in Harare.
And in sports news, the Zimbabwe Football Association spokesperson Xolani Gwesela tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye that ZIFA is seeking a government guarantee to place a bid for the country to host the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations.
We at the Zimbabwe Football Association, the football mother body, we are interested in bidding the 2017 African Cup of Nations. The procedure is we have to get the government guarantee first before embarking on bidding that particular tournament. So currently we are in engagement, we are currently discussing with the government. We currently enjoy very cordial relations with the government. We are currently in the government on the way forward so that we get the bid so that it will enable us to proceed and bid for 2017 African Cup of Nations.
But is Zimbabwe ready to host such a cup, looking at the state of the economy?
Sorry, we had to cut that short. That was Zifa spokesperson Xolani Gwesele speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye. This is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night. Good night.